Mintaka came awake slowly, as though she were rising up from the depths of that dark and terrible pit where demons live. When she opened her eyes, the demons that had haunted her dreams fled away, and she saw with immense relief the two most beloved faces in her world. Taita sat at one side of her couch, and Nefer at the other.
"How long?" she asked. "How long was I gone?"
"A day and a night," Taita answered her. "I gave you the red Shepin flower." She raised her hand to her face and found a thick coating of salve upon it. She rolled her head towards Nefer and whispered,
"I am ugly."
"No," he replied.
"You're the most beautiful woman I've ever laid eyes on, and I love you past the counting of it. You're not angry with me for disobeying you?"
"You have given me a crown and a land." He shook his head, and one of his tears fell upon her face. "Above that, you've given me your love, which is more precious to me than all of that. How could I ever be angry with you?" Taita rose softly and left the tent, and they stayed together all the rest of that day, speaking softly to each other. In the evening, Nefer sent for the others. When they'd gathered around Mintaka's couch, Nefer looked at their faces gravely and saw that all of them were there. Taita, Atmerin, Pren, Soko, and Shabako, moving stiffly from the pain of his wounds garnered on the battlefield of Ismailia. "You have come to see justice done," he told them, then turned to the guards at the door. "Bring in the woman named Heseret," he ordered. Mintaka started and tried to sit up, but he pushed her gently back upon the bolster.
"Where? How did you find her?"
"Our pickets found her wandering in the desert on the road back to Ismailia," Nefer explained. "At first they didn't recognize her, or believe her claims to be a queen. They thought her a madwoman." Heseret came into the tent. Nefer had allowed her to bathe and provided her with fresh raiment, and Taita had treated the cuts and grazes on her face and body. Now she shrugged off the hands of her guards and looked around her with a regal lift of her chin.
"Prostrate yourselves before me,"
she ordered the men who faced her.
"I am a queen."
No one moved, and Nefer said, "Bring her a stool." When she was seated upon it, he stared at her so coldly that Heseret covered her face and started to weep.
"You hate me," she blubbered. "Why do you hate me?"
"Mintaka shall tell you why," he answered, and turned to the girl on the couch. "Please describe to us the manner of the death of Princess Merikara." Mintaka spoke for almost an hour, and during all that time no one in the tent moved or uttered a sound, except to gasp and exclaim in horror at the most dreadful parts of what they were hearing. At the end, Nefer looked at Heseret. "Do you deny any part of this testimony?" Heseret returned his cold stare.
"She was a whore, and she brought shame on her husband, the Pharaoh of Egypt. She deserved death. I'm pleased and proud that I was able to be the instrument of justice."
"Even now I might have forgiven you," Nefer said softly, "if you had shown a grain of remorse."
"I am a queen. I am above your petty laws."
"You're a queen no longer," Nefer replied, and she looked confused.
"I am your own sister. You would not harm me."
"Merikara was your sister also. Did you spare her?"
"I know you well, Nefertiti. You would not harm me."
"You're right, Heseret. I will not harm you. But there is one who will not scruple." He turned to his assembled captains. "It is the ancient law of the rights of the one most injured. Stand forth, Meron Cambyses." Meron rose and stepped forward. Pharaoh, I am your man. You were betrothed to Princess Merikara. Yours is the greatest injury. I give into your keeping the body and the life of Heseret Tamosa, who was a princess of the royal house of Egypt. Heseret began to scream as Merin placed a gold chain round her neck.
I am a queen and a goddess! You dare not harm me!
No one took notice of her cries, and Merin looked at Nefer. Your Majesty, do you place any restriction upon me? Do you urge or order me to show mercy and compassion? I give her you without reservation. Her life is yours. Merin loosened the sword in its sheath on his hip and pulled Heseret to her feet with a chain. He dragged her, blubbering and wailing, from the tent. Nobody followed them. They sat in silence, and through the linen walls listened to Heseret's wailing, entreaties, and blandishments. Then there was a sudden silence, and they steeled themselves. They heard a high, piercing shriek that ended as abruptly as it had started. Mintaka covered her face with both hands, and Nefer made the sign against evil with his right hand. The others coughed and moved restlessly. Then the curtains at the entrance parted, and Merin stepped back into the tent. In his right hand he carried the naked sword, and in the other a dreadful object. "Your Majesty," he said, "justice has been done." By its dense hair tresses he held high the severed head of Heseret, the wife of Najakiafan, the false pharaoh.